ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 18 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And you know, we're getting down to the last few chapters here, and there's a lot going on. And keep in mind, chapters 17 and 18 of Revelation are some other events that happened during the tribulation period. This is not, you know, necessarily the, you know, bowl judgments or the trumpet judgments or the seal judgments. No, these are different things that are happening during this period of time. And, you know, as some study these chapters, chapter 17 and 18 of Revelation, they feel that it's speaking of the same thing. This is the same group. But as we saw last time, Revelation chapter 17 deals with the destruction of religious Babylon, or the false religious system, somewhere around the 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period. And the reason I say that is because I think this happens around the same time the Antichrist goes into the Holy of Holies and demands to be worshipped of God. The false religious system where, you know, people, yeah, they're worshipping the Antichrist, but they're also, it's just whatever people want to worship. Now the Antichrist wants to be worshipped alone. This false religious system is done. He's used it to the fullest. He's gained his power. He crushes it. And now this false religious, or this worship of just the Antichrist, is on the scene. I also think that, you know, since he's in the Holy of Holies, I think this in Jerusalem, this is where he sets up his headquarters. And I think the false religious system, it moves from Rome now to Jerusalem, because that's where he's going to be until he goes to Africa for a time and then to the Battle of Armageddon. But we'll deal with that as we get to further on in Revelation. Now, what is kind of interesting is that many Christians are oblivious to what's going on. You know, they're kind of like the world. They don't see any of these things happening. They ignore these things. They don't care. And maybe they're just distracted by other things. I'll show you what I mean with this story. It was in the Milwaukee Journal years back, but it just does illustrate for us why many are missing these things. This is what the article said. A Milwaukee teacher took her first grade class to a dairy where a guide showed the children through the entire plant, explaining the whole process. The tour over, the guide asked if anyone had any questions. And one little girl, you know, she raised her hand and she was real excited. And she said, "Did you notice that I have a new suit on?" That's kind of where America and a lot of Christians are. Cute story, but it was that self-focus, right? Self-centered mentality. And that's really a life outside of Christ. It's got to be focused on something, and it's usually focused on self. And we as Christians got to be careful, because it's real easy for us to become focused on self. You know, we have Christian self-help books, although they've kind of gone by the wayside lately. But I always thought, you know, just read the title of the book before you buy it. Self-help. I need God's help. I've already screwed things up enough. I don't need to try and help myself, right? So, but that's where a lot of people are at, and a lot in the world too. And this commercial system we're going to see here in Revelation chapter 18 is going to focus on the needs of the people. And you could really, the end time scenario, the world system, you can break it down three ways. The political system, of course, headed by the Antichrist. The religious system headed by the false prophet. And then there's the commercial system headed by the movers and shakers of society. I believe the Antichrist is also going to be involved in this, overseeing it. But as strong as they think they are, it's not going to stand. Not before God. You know, one writer put it like this regarding man apart from God. Throughout history, the petty kingdom and empires built by proud, arrogant, God-rejecting rebels have come and gone. The spirit of humanism first expressed at Babel has permeated human history ever since. Unshakably optimistic, despite centuries of war, slaughter, injustice, and cruelty, people still seek a utopia to be brought about by humanity's upward scientific progress. Having taken control, so they think, of their own destiny through science, sinners have no use for God and haughtily replace him as a self-styled gods devoted to their own sovereignty. Isn't that true? We see people today feeling like they're God, they control their destiny, they can do whatever they want. You know, we look at this world system and I compare it to the book of Judges and really the last few chapters of the book of Judges. I mean, you read that and you go, this is horrific. How could they do this? These are the people of God. And the answer is very simple. And it's said a couple times in the book of Judges. There was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. If God is not on the throne of your heart, you're going to do what's right in your own eyes. And look at the chaos, all the confusion we have today. People don't know what's right or wrong. You know, think about it. Years ago, you know, this country was never all Christian, okay? Let's face it. We understand that. I don't care what people say, 80% of the country's Christian. It's not true. But years ago, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, they weren't Christian, but they still knew what was right and wrong. Now, did they always do it? No. But for the majority of the people, they absolutely knew what was right or wrong. When you shook on a deal, you didn't need to sign any paperwork because the handshake was as good as signing paperwork. Now there's all these papers you have to sign, and when it gets to the lawyers, they negate everything that's in that piece of paper, right? Because people aren't honest. I shouldn't say no one, but a lot of people aren't honest anymore. Because there is no king on the throne of their heart, and everyone does what's right in their own eyes. And I think that's what we're going to see here in our study this evening. You know, people are so proud and arrogant, and yet God holds our very breath, doesn't he? We get up every day because it's the grace of God. And if God ever let go, well, he will one day. Just read 2 Peter chapter 3. You find out what happens. The earth dissolves in a fiery mess. And God creates a new heavens and a new earth. So with that as our background, let's pick up in Revelation chapter 18, starting on verse 1, as we are going to look at the destruction of commercial Babylon and how the world responds to her destruction. Look at verse 1 here. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, has become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. John starts out by saying, after these things, metatata in the Greek, after what things? After the destruction of this false religious system spoken of in Revelation chapter 17. The world church is destroyed by the Antichrist, and he establishes his own religious system. And political and religious system are going to be combined, but now, you know, as it was early on, now it's just going to be about him. You worship me or die. And ultimately, they're going to worship Satan. And here, John says, look, I saw another angel. Now, this is not Jesus Christ. Some think it is, but it's not. Because John uses a Greek word, allos, for another. And it speaks of another of the same kind. He didn't use heteros, which means another of a different kind. What do I mean by this? Well, this angel is the same type as the angel we read of back in Revelation chapter 17, 1. And again, it's not Jesus. It's not the same angel, this is another one. Just like the one that we saw, but he's not the same one. And he has great authority, and the Lord is the one that gives him that authority, just like he does with us. And what's interesting here is that the world is in the blackness of the tribulation period, and yet here with this angel, the earth was illuminated with his glory. I don't know how that's all going to work out, but when he comes, man, the sky's going to light up. I don't know if it's over the entire world, but it's definitely illuminating the sky. And I like what Sweet says. He says, so recently has he come from the presence of God that in passing he flings a broad belt of light across the dark earth. You know, as we spend time with Jesus, we should bring the light of God into a world of darkness. And the world truly needs the light of Christ to shine upon it today. The world needs some hope, and not a false hope, but a true hope that's found in Jesus. And here this angel, as he comes on the scene, as he shines brightly in this world, he cries out, Babylon the Great has fallen, is fallen. Again, this is not what's happened in Revelation chapter 17. That was a different Babylon. That was religious Babylon. And I'll give you a few points to show you they're different. In Revelation 17, it was called Mystery Babylon. It was a symbol, was the harlot woman. Commercial Babylon here in Revelation 18, the symbol, a great city. Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17 was a woman, a whore, a mother. But here in Revelation 18, commercial Babylon was a habitation, a great city, a marketplace. You see the difference of that? Mystery Babylon in Revelation 17, guilty of religious abomination, spiritual adultery. Here in Revelation 18, commercial Babylon, guilty of greed, self-indulgence, feeding the flesh. And then Mystery Babylon, Revelation 17, destroyed by a political power that previously supported her. And commercial Babylon here in Revelation 18 is destroyed by a sudden act of God. So two different entities, religious Babylon, and here in chapter 18 of Revelation, commercial Babylon. And think about this. Prior to her destruction here in Revelation 18, the world was cashing in on all that she was. They were becoming prosperous financially from her. They lusted after her. They became intoxicated with her riches. And yet God brings down what looks mighty in the eyes of God. And think about it. How fast nations can fall. How quickly. When God, like I said, is removed, there's a vacuum in people's lives, and they fill it with all kinds of unclean spirits, all kinds of evil. It's darkness. What are people doing today? What are they filling their lives with? And here, this commercial Babylon is very evil. And we'll look at it more next time, the specific details. But again, listen to what we're told. It has become a habitation of what? Demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Now, I think we get the demons and foul spirits, but the unclean and hated bird, what is that about? That's kind of weird, huh? Well, one writer said this, like grotesque carrion birds, the demons will hover over the doomed city, waiting for its fall. The deception of the demons as unclean and hateful reflects heaven's view of them. Again, these are demonic entities. And you think, well, they're waiting for the fall of Babylon. They don't care. They don't care about life. They only care about destruction. So they don't care about anything. Think about it. The devil wants to destroy lives, right? How does he do it? By telling you something that is bad is really good. And we've seen how that destroys life. I shared this. This is from years ago. Back in Chicago, there's this basketball player, young kid. He's going to go to college. I mean, all the schools were, colleges were, you know, were looking for this kid. They wanted him. I think he even had a contract for a TV commercial. He was only in high school. And the kid never did drugs or anything like that. And he went to a party, did cocaine one time, and he died. Satan wants to destroy lives. God wants to give you life and give it more abundantly. We need to remember that. You know, think about all this demonic activity because God has been taken out of the picture. This is the focus of their lives. Now, here we're talking about the destruction of commercial Babylon. When does it take place? I think it's towards the end of the tribulation period. Again, I'm trying to give you what I think is going to happen. When we get into heaven, don't come up to me and go, Joe, you know, you were wrong about that. But that's what I think. I think it's towards the end of the tribulation period. Is this an actual city or is it just symbolic for the Antichrist godless system? I think it's an actual city. I think it's a commercial empire. They call it a city some five times in this chapter. We see that the people watched at a far distance and saw her destruction. So I truly believe this is an actual city. So if it is an actual city that's going to be the financial empire of the world, where is this Babylon located? Well, again, there's all kinds of ideas out there. Some believe that it's speaking of any financial empire in the last days that controls the world economy. They say China. Some say the United States. I don't think so. Look at where the United States is going. It's interesting, and I've told you this before, but one of the goals for the United States, the United Nations goals for the United States, again, this is the United Nations. We're united. We're to be helping everyone. But their goal for 2030, and I think they're pretty close to achieving this already, the U.S. won't be the world's leading superpower. That's our goal? So I don't think we're going to be a big influence. Some say it's speaking of Rome. I think that's where the religious system is. I don't think it's where the commercial system is. And I'll just give you my 2 cents worth. Inflation, maybe it's only a penny now, I'm not sure. But I think it's actually Babylon. I think Babylon's going to be rebuilt. And when you look at Babylon today, you go, well, come on, Joe, it's nothing. How can this be the commercial center of the world? Well, let me share a few things with you, and then you can come to your own conclusion. In Isaiah 13, verses 17 through 18, we're told of the fall of Babylon by the Medes and the Persians. This is what it says. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver, and as for gold, they will not delight in it. Also, their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children. And when that happened in 539 BC, Babylon was not destroyed. Remember, the Medo-Persian army entered through the gates of the city, not the gates on the land, but the gates through the Euphrates River. They diverted the Euphrates River, and the levels went down, and they forgot the Babylonians forgot to lock the gates, and the Persians just walked into the city, and it was an easy battle for them. The army was already in before the soldiers knew anything about it. And it's interesting, Isaiah 40, chapters 44 and 45, you can see that God says the gates would not be locked. And that's exactly what happened. Now, again, this wasn't a battle. Babylon wasn't destroyed, the city itself. And what happened is the Persians used the city of Babylon as a secondary capital for 2 centuries. Then in 325 BC, Alexander the Great conquered the Persians, made Babylon his capital. He died in Babylon, and his empire was divided up between his 4 generals. And that's just what Daniel said. Was it going to be given to his children, but to his 4 generals? And you could read about it, how they fought, especially the ones from the north and the south. I think it was Ptolemy, I forgot the other one. But they were fighting, and Daniel goes into great detail showing how they fought back and forth, and Israel was right in the middle. Now again, Babylon wasn't destroyed the way God said it was. In Isaiah 13, verses 19 through 22, it says, "In Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Nor will the Arabian pitch tents there, nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there, but wild beasts of the desert will lie there. And their houses will be full of owls, ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant places. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged." Now think about it. Babylon, the city itself, is not where the city of Iraq is, okay? It's a little bit different. So Babylon itself hasn't been rebuilt, but it was never destroyed. How was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Fire and brimstone. So I kind of find that interesting. That never happened to Babylon. The Medo-Persian army didn't destroy it like that, nor did the Grecian army. And I think it's going to be rebuilt. You know, you remember the late Saddam Hussein, the leader of Iraq, and what was known as Babylon. Again, it wasn't where the ancient city was, but he began to rebuild it in 1985, the ancient city. Spent over $500 million to reconstruct the city and build a modern residence on the ruins of Nebuchadnezzar's palace. Now, obviously, he's been removed from power and executed, but they're still building there. The UN Educational scientific and cultural organization is pumping millions of dollars into Babylon and several other historical sites in Iraq. And with the help of private donors, they hope to turn Babylon into a thriving center of tourism and commerce. So I always find it interesting that what the world is trying to do, God already says, this is what's going to happen. They think they're doing this. They're just following what God says. They need to read the book, right? And maybe this is just the beginning of this commercial empire, but I think it's going to grow very quickly. Time will tell. We'll see. Henry Morris made this interesting point about Babylon. He said, the site of modern Babylon is strategically located at the crossroads of Asia, Europe, and Africa, and is not far from the Persian Gulf. It is also near the world's richest oil fields and has a virtually unlimited water supply from the Euphrates. Those considerations led the famed historian Arnold Toynbee to proclaim that Babylon would be an ideal site for an important political and cultural center. Isn't that interesting? Years ago, he made those statements, and I think we're seeing it coming to pass. And why do the merchants love this commercial center? Why will they love it? Because it's made them rich. They lust for riches. They have no feelings of what's right or what's wrong. It's all about them gaining more at any cost. Never satisfied, even though they're, you know, having a great time, they're still not satisfied. We want more. I think it was Rockefeller when someone asked him, how much more money do you need to make? And he said, just a little bit more. It never ends. And when you have Jesus, you're satisfied in him, right? He meets all that we need. You know, Solomon, Proverbs 27:20 said, hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Wow. You know, talk about America today, right? America's never satisfied. They're always looking for bigger, better, whatever. Bigger home, bigger car. You know, where does it end? There's true satisfaction in Jesus. Now, it's interesting, and I'll just add this little side note. What are the prosperity teachers telling us today? Oh, you know, you just got to, you know, blab it and grab it. You just got to name it and claim it. And all these riches can be, you know, you give to God, $100, and he'll give you 100-fold back. You know, you give him 100 houses, you get 100-fold worth of houses back. Isn't that great? More and more riches, right? They'll even tell you Jesus was rich. I don't know. He said he had no place to lay his head. I don't think he was rich. I think he came from a poor family. Why do I say that? Well, think about it. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, and Mary and Joseph were warned to flee to Egypt, what resources did they have to survive in Egypt? Oh, the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh that the kings brought, right? Isn't it interesting how God provided for them? Because they had nothing. How were they going to survive in a foreign country? With what God gave to them. But all these riches, you know, gaining more and more, what are you going to do with it? You know, my mom, she's like going to move, right? She's going to get it, move into a smaller place. She's moving from Illinois to Missouri. And she doesn't know what to do with all the stuff she has. I told my son, when your mom and I die, it's all yours to figure out what to do with. Because I'm not moving until I die and go to heaven. I don't want to deal with it. But look at what God has to say, you know, in verse 4. It's kind of interesting. In verse 4 here in Revelation 18, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. Get out of her. Don't go into that. Why are you going there? This is speaking of the tribulation saints. We're gone. But you know what? Can't we as Christians get sucked into this? And work and work and work and work and work and work. More hours, more hours, more hours. And we don't have time for family. We don't have time for God. We also look at, you know, look how many Christians are part of the liberal church today. Look at how easy they're sucked into that. We have to remember Satan and his demonic forces can easily deceive us because they can entice us with all kinds of things that feed the flesh. That's kind of what entertainment or a service does. It feeds the flesh. And guys, I was at Willow Creek years and years and years ago, and their skits, their plays that they put on were better than what was on television. That's how good they were. But there was no, I was spiritually starving to death, and I knew it. I was a new Christian, and I knew I was starving. I wanted to be fed, and they just wouldn't allow me to. So yeah, it's easy to get sucked into it. And remember, Satan and his demonic forces and those who follow him transform themselves into angels of light. Do you really think that false teachers have false teacher written on their forehead? If they did, it'd be really easy, right? Well, then we could be deceived. We could.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.